The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is a really interesting one, and it's traffic safety, something that affects all of us because this is a very car-intensive or transportation-intensive community. And before I introduce our guest, could you review some of the statistics with regard to vehicle accidents and fatalities in Ulster County?
Well, the Department of Health is very concerned about this issue of traffic safety. For when you look at our statistics, we've had almost 5,000 traffic vehicle-related accidents in the county, resulting in about 1,200 injuries and, unfortunately, 12 fatalities. And many of these involved vehicle and pedestrians. 56 have been injured in 2018, and two have been fatal. And as far as bicycle accidents with motor vehicles, in 2018, we've had about 28 people injured with two fatalities.
And what are some of the, what are the top five, say, contributing factors to that?
Well, the major contributing factor by number is driver inattention, distracted driving. We've had over 1,100, almost 1,200 accidents due to driver distraction. Also, the way people drive, too aggressive type of driving, following too close, improper use of passing lanes, and not paying attention to traffic rules and regulations. We've had over 1,100 accidents due to those reasons. And driving too quickly, too fast.
Yeah, that's always a big one.
Unsafe speed, we've had over 400 accidents due to driving too quickly. So these are major issues, and certainly they need to bring into focus what we can do to change these numbers.
And fortunately, we have the perfect guest to discuss some of these in detail. Her name is Rose Quinn, and Rose is the assistant to the director of the SUNY Ulster Mid-Hudson Health and Safety Institute. Her background is in education, community partnership development, and program development. She also works at the YMCA of Ulster County as a bicycle educator and as an instructor for SUNY Ulster. Welcome, Rose. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me.
Rose, let's start with the beginning. What is the Mid-Hudson Health and Safety Institute? How did it come into being, and what does it do?
So the Mid-Hudson Health and Safety Institute is a grant-funded program. We are funded through the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee. And it came about in the 1970s from some legislation that was passed specifically to address safety issues, safety concerns on our roads, as it became much more apparent to people that our roads and the way we travel could have some pretty significant health implications for people. So that grant made it possible for every state to have a fund that addresses these issues through education and community outreach, and that's where we come in. So we are funded through the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee to provide educational services to mitigate risk on our roads.
And what type of specific programming does the Institute offer?
Well, we offer many different programs. I mean, one of the things that we're tasked to do is figure out what these issues are on our roads and then come up with programming that meets what these issues are. So certainly, issues that pertain to our young people in cars, both very young and young drivers. So we do a lot of car seat safety education programs. We do a lot of clinics. We support people becoming car seat technicians. We also go into high schools and do distracted driver programs and impaired driver programs. We go to fairs, and we go to health events, and we talk about motorcycle safety. We talk about the risks involved with drowsy driving. I mean, the list goes on and on because there is such a long list of things that contribute to these really overwhelming numbers. The loss of life and the injury on our roads is really quite significant.
And what are the trending topics? I know that you cover a lot of different areas, but Dr. Smith mentioned the top five contributing factors for accidents in Ulster County in 2018. What do you see out there, and what are people really concerned and interested in?
Well, certainly distracted driving, I think, for everybody is a huge concern because, well, one, it's new. So a lot of people, myself included, most people I know, when we got our driver's license, this was not the issue that it is now. And people have not had a chance to really catch up with the technology in their cars. So in every category, just about distracted driving is a significant issue. Even in pedestrian and bicycle crashes, pedestrian crashes are often a combination of driver distraction and pedestrian distraction. And it is certainly hands down the biggest factor. I mean, most people think that impaired driving is the biggest factor in fatality and accident and crashes. However, distracted driving outshines that number.
And that has a pretty broad definition, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
What's included in distracted driving?
Oh, lots of things. So we, of course, there's the obvious. There's smartphones and cell phones and that technology. Of course, there's also GPS and there's MP3 players, if anyone even uses those anymore.
Infotainment systems.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, you know, and there's the extreme cases of people watching Netflix, but those aren't really the serious everyday distractions. Certainly, I mean, I don't mean to imply that cell phones aren't. Cell phones certainly are. But things like eating. I mean, New Jersey actually has passed legislation saying that you can't eat in the car, drinking in the car, conversation in the car. In New York State, if you have a junior's driver's license, you're restricted to the amount of people under 21 you can have in the car. And there's a very legitimate reason for it, because it's distracting to have a lot of people talking in the car. And an inexperienced driver, of course, is going to be more vulnerable.
I remember in my last defensive driving course, they talked about the fact that you can not only be distracted by things going on in the physical environment, but let's say your mind is elsewhere. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there are times in the past where I've gone down a familiar road and I end up like several miles down the road and don't remember what happened between A and B.
Yes.
And that's pretty, that's mind distraction.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anger, grief, all of those things are distracting. Joy, all of these things are distracting. So if you have just had an argument, a heated argument with somebody, it really might be in your best interest and everybody on the road's best interest for you to take a few breaths before you jump in the car and speed away. Because all of those things keep us from the main task at hand, which is focusing at all times on driving. We get very complacent about that because we do it all the time, but it's a very unforgiving, there's not a lot of room for error, let's say, if you're traveling at even 35 or 40 miles an hour.
No, I think it's important to remember that you're driving a vehicle that is potentially capable of killing somebody.
Right.
And, you know, that it, just to be continually aware of that should help to focus your attention as well as the
right.
danger involved. We were talking earlier that, you know, you've seen people not adhere to laws regarding stopping for school buses because either they've been distracted and they go around them or some other reason, but you know, it certainly is an issue.
Right. I mean, that's a big one, is it not?
Yeah. Well, school bus, it's still every day there are, you know, people who are ticketed and people who are not ticketed for passing school buses. It's a much bigger problem than most people realize. Often people, do it out of ignorance. They don't understand, for instance, that on a four-lane highway, if the sign comes out, everybody on that highway has to stop.
In both directions.
In both directions. They don't understand that just seeing the kids make it to the other side of the road is not enough. You really have to see the bus driver pull in the sign and start to take off before you proceed, because kids run back and forth and that driver is seeing
things. Or they forgot something on the bus.
Or they forgot something on the bus. Or, you know, one of my favorite lines is, the only thing you can predict about kids is that they're unpredictable and they're going to run back and grab something. So remember that even though you think you may see the whole picture, there's a really good chance you don't, especially when the picture is below your eye level.
Yeah, really. And there are a lot more topics that we want to discuss, but first we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back soon.
I love the way that picture looks. Can you move it to the left just a bit? Careful on the ladder.
Really? You know I'm always careful. Let me move it just a little bit more. Uh-oh!
Let's face it, accidents happen. When life takes an unexpected turn, you want your family treated at a full-service emergency room, where you'll find physicians who are board-certified in emergency medicine.
Let's get in the car. We're going to the ER.
Oh, but we'll be waiting for hours.
Introducing the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, only at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, members of the WMC Health Network. When you arrive in either of these emergency rooms, you'll be seen by a member of the care team within 30 minutes. Expert trusted emergency care without the wait. To read the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, visit wmchealth.org/ER30.
Well, that was painless.
Hey, I'm the one with the stitches.
No, I was talking about the wait.
Another way the WMC Health Network is advancing care here.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. This week's topic is traffic safety, and we have with us Rose Quinn from the Mid-Hudson Health and Safety Institute. What, Rose, before the break, we were talking about some of the factors that contribute to accidents, and we want to cover a few more of those, especially with respect to pedestrian and bicycle awareness and safety. Can you speak to that issue a little bit?
I sure can. However, I am going to take 1 second and just mention to you guys that we have actually moved away from using the term accident. We call them crashes now. And there's a very specific reason we call incidents like this crashes and not accidents, because they tend to be predictable. And we tend to know that there is a set of circumstances that lead to, for example, we don't call a train, we may say train crash, but we usually say derailment. So in that spirit.
Well, accident kind of implies that it's something that may have been unavoidable.
Exactly.
But a crash really does
attribute
responsibility.
So the Department of Transportation in New York State, Tracy Egan, the commissioner, has put out a statement saying that she really would like all of us to switch our language and refer to crashes as crashes. So with that being said, so pedestrian crashes and bicycle crashes are a significant issue in New York State. In particular, in New York State, our numbers are pretty good in terms of the overall fatality rates going down, except for pedestrians and cyclists. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But most people don't realize that in the United States, every year we lose about 6,000 people. Pedestrians, and that is a really significant, and that's in the overall 40,000, which is already a huge number. But when we talk about that 40,000 people lost on our roads, 6,000 of them are pedestrians or bicyclists. So there is a significant risk to people who are walking on our roads, people who are entering crosswalks, people who are using bicycles to get around. Last year, unfortunately, in Ulster County, in a one-year period, we lost 3 cyclists, which was very disturbing. Obviously, you know, they were all young men. But the interesting thing about each of those men was they were using those bicycles as their primary means of transportation. These weren't recreational cyclists.
Which is
cyclists.
Really on the uptick in
Absolutely.
Ulster County and everywhere, right?
I mean, absolutely. It's become more of a option for people to get back and forth to use. I mean, it's wonderful that the buses in Ulster County all have bus racks, and all of that stuff is fantastic. And trails are wonderful, and that kind of infrastructure is wonderful, and we're getting lots of it in Ulster County. But people still will be on our roads, cycling and walking. And as drivers, we need to be mindful that there are these vulnerable people out there, and that we have to just take a little extra care with the other users of our roads.
And what does the law in New York say about pedestrians, and particularly pedestrians in crosswalks, and how what roles and responsibilities bicyclists have in the mix?
Okay, so first, pedestrians. A pedestrian entering a crosswalk has the right of way in New York State, period. So if you have gone to a crosswalk and there is a signal that tells you that it's okay, or a sign that says that you have that right of way, you have the right of way, and the car has to yield. If you cross in the middle of the street, which is the majority of pedestrian fatalities, it's another story. Now, it's a situation where you have to kind of take into account who is more at fault. But the pedestrian is supposed to be going and using the signed corners or the assigned crosswalk. And the driver is supposed to always respect the pedestrian in the crosswalk.
Now, when you say yield, do you mean stop?
Well, stop, absolutely. Right. I should say stop. Yes, I'm sorry. Right. In terms of cyclists, cyclists have to obey all of the rules that drivers have to obey. So cyclists have to stop at stop signs, and they have to stop at red lights, and they have to stay to the right. Where it gets a little confusing is people will often say things like, well, why isn't the cyclist always riding in the bike lane? Well, that's because they're really aren't many bike lanes.
Right.
What you're talking about is a shoulder. And if a cyclist determines that that shoulder is not safe for them, they have the right to move out into the lane. Or if there's no shoulder present, they have the right to be in the
right.
lane.
And often there are potholes or ruts or whatever that make it impossible.
Again, you know, the cyclist, same as the bus driver, they're seeing something that you may not be seeing. The cyclist is also possibly seeing something that you may not be seeing as a driver. And, their option is to avoid that obstacle or potentially hit that obstacle and fall in front of you. So there is that always at play, where drivers will get often frustrated believing that cyclists are purposely moving out in front of them, and they're not. I mean, sometimes they are. I mean, we're human. Cyclists are human, just like drivers. But usually there's a reason behind the action. And, if drivers, we suggest, it's not law in New York State yet, but we do suggest that a driver always give a cyclist 3 feet of space before attempting to pass. And certainly try not to pass on blind corners or on hills.
Right, that's always a big one. I live on 28A, which is a very curvy road, and I will go as slow as possible until I have a clear line of sight before I pass a bicyclist.
Another issue also is often motorists don't understand that cyclists have to obey the same rules as the motorists, including getting into a left-hand lane, for instance, to make a turn. And I know myself as a cyclist, that often is an area of conflict where I move into a left-hand lane to make a turn, and a driver will get upset thinking that I've done something illegal, when in fact I haven't. I've done the safest move I can do as a vehicle. So there's lots to be learned on both sides.
And there's also that responsibility for the cyclist to wear visible clothing. Like, you rode here today and you have a bright yellow jacket and an orange T-shirt. And also when riding at twilight or evening, to have lights.
Well, absolutely.
Front and rear.
So CNB Scene is one of our campaigns. And so that responsibility goes both ways, for the driver to always be aware, but also for the pedestrian or the cyclist to be visible. In New York State, you have to have lights if you are traveling at twilight. You have to also have a bell. And you, again, have to be following the same rules. And you know, and giving way for traffic if it's trying to pass you. But being visible, you know, is critical.
Pedestrians,
really is.
How many times do pedestrians just come out of, you think they come out of nowhere because they're wearing dark clothing and it's getting dark and, you know, oh my gosh, where did that person come from? It was a ghost, you know?
And the rules are a little bit different for pedestrians and cyclists in that cyclists are always supposed to go with traffic. So they're supposed to be on the right side of the road, traveling with traffic in a predictable manner. Pedestrians, on the other hand, are supposed to be walking into traffic.
So that they can see what's coming.
So that they can see.
Right.
So that all of their sense, and also be seen.
Right.
And we always suggest that if you're walking on a road, particularly a dark road, carry a flashlight, wear bright clothing. It's we can talk forever about how in a perfect world it would be wonderful if everyone was respecting each other. But the reality is anytime that there's a crash with a car and a pedestrian or a bicycle, we know the outcome is not going to be good for the pedestrian or the cyclist.
Right. Yeah. Right. And one of the things that just happened recently was I think it was in Westchester, where a car tried to beat the railroad crossing gate coming down and unfortunately resulted in 3 tragic fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of train crossings in Ulster County. So the message is...
The message is do not, under any circumstances, whether you're walking, driving, or biking, if you hear and see... The signals at a signaled crossing, they're not all signaled. There are a few in Ulster that aren't. But at a signaled crossing, if you see that light, you absolutely must stop. You cannot predict with any certainty the rate of speed of a train. It's been demonstrated over and over again.
Or their ability to brake. When you have that kind of speed with that sort of weight behind it, they're not going to be able to
see even from up there. And then, you know, these people who walk or jog along railroad tracks with headphones on, earplugs, you know.
And there's also the issue, I mean, you know, so in Ulster County, our tracks are often very close to playgrounds, very close to schools, very close to places where kids are. And the kinds of things that can happen we don't think about, you can get hooked onto a train very easily if you're walking too close to it and it's moving. You know,
right,
kids
don't sucked into it by
so
the vacuum.
So not only stop at the crosswalk, but do not be near the tracks.
Right.
Do not walk along tracks. Don't play along tracks.
So Rose, so much great information here. We could go another hour, but unfortunately we're running out of time. So tell us how folks can get in touch with you and any special events just quickly in the remaining few seconds we have.
So you can get in touch with me at SUNY Ulster, and I can give you my email, and that is Quinn, Q-U-I-N-N-R, at sunyulster.edu. And if you're interested in any of the programs we talked about. And also, we have a wonderful event coming up called the Women's Bike Festival in Kingston on March 31st. And it's for new cyclists, not for experienced cyclists. So this is if you're thinking of getting out on the road and you need some encouragement, some skills, this is the place for you. And free lunch and childcare.
Thank you, Rose. Thank you for all the great work you do to keep all of us safe. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Dr. Smith. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong with Healthy Ulster Radio.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.